Welcome to the City Park Church Podcast. We are changing the culture of the city through the message of hope. Please share at cityparkchurch.com how God has touched your life through our messages. Thank you for listening.
In 2 Kings, if you can open to that. 2 Kings 6. And since it's a two-part story today, I'll just recap a little bit what I spoke last, but really shortly, so I encourage you to listen to it online or read the story for yourselves. And before I get into it, I'll pray. Father God, I thank you for this new year. I thank you for you people that are here gathered in your name, Jesus. And we thank you, Father God, that your will is what we're after. Your blessings is what we're after. Your ways and your dreams is what we're after, because we know that you are truth and you are light and you are love and you set us free. You truly, Jesus, have become our deliverer. And we thank you for that. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus today that you'll use me, that I can be that vessel that you say, that's my girl. You go, girl, because your word is coming through my mouth and it will bring light and life and answers and power to the hearers, Father God, this morning. Thank you, Father. I pray that every life that came in here will not leave the same way, but they will leave as one that has encountered the living God of hope, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm going to unveil something right now that I bought yesterday at a women's conference. Ta-ta. So I am God's girl. And because I am his, I do what I do. I am what I am, and I have what I have. When I was 14, I gave my life to Christ, and he has never disappointed me. Were there times I was against him or forgot about him or did my own thing? Yes. Was he always there when I returned? Absolutely. And over the years and over the seasons and over the having kids and having being single for a long time and then married for a long time and seasons, I am what I am today, and I have what I have today because of this. I am God's girl. Now, guys, please don't say that. You can say, I'm God's guy, all right? I'm God's man. But when you know who you are in God, life is different. Because with the scripture that we just saw in that little video clip, we can see into the unseen, into the eternal. And God has called us to bring what's in heaven down on earth. As it is in heaven, so shall it be at City Park Church. So shall it be in Sibylla's life. So shall it be in Joanne's and everybody's life. We are called to be ambassadors. And so this morning I want to show you a side of our God who calls himself the deliverer. And in this story, just to recapture a little bit of last week, we have a king of Israel. And we have a king of Aram who's the enemy of Israel. And we have a prophet, because in the Old Testament, God showed himself and spoke from his heart and showed the kingdom things through prophets, a lot of times through kings. But we can see here in the story that the king of Israel wasn't one that saw really well. We see in his character traits that he was more into maybe pleasing people and looking good himself, while the prophet, Elijah, was really after the things of God and the true unseen, true real things. And he has warned the king every time the king of Aram had set an ambush to capture or fight the Israelites. The Elijah prophesied, watch out, king, they're going to be hiding there and they're going to be hiding there and there's going to be a problem for you. Watch out, watch out. So there was this display of God's glory through Elijah for the people of Israel, right? So the king of Aram, the enemy of Israel, was so mad. He thought he had people in his own army that betrayed him. He said, who rats me out here? Who of you is not for me? And they said, no, it's not us. It's that prophet Elijah who tells the king of Israel what you say in your bedroom. And he's just like, oh, I got to do something about that. And he wants to capture him. He was unable to do so in to make that amazing story short, because the prayer of Elijah allowed his own servant who saw the enemy army comes around the city. And Elijah said, wow, don't worry about it. Those with us are more than those are with them. And the servant said, well, I see just us. And there's the big amount of army. And then he prayed. And he said, God, open the servant's eyes. And he could then see, just like Elijah could see, into the unseen. He could see the answer. He could see God's provision. He could see God doing things for him. And he was blind to that before, but after the prayer, he could see. And then it came to pass through another miracle that the whole army was captured, brought into the city of Samaria, where through blindness, another prayer, see, prayer enables us to see and enables us to receive revelation, but it blinds the enemy. That's what prayer does. We bind the enemy and we release the things of God. That's what prayer is, right? So listen to last week's tape because I went into that more. And it's a really, really important point. So, but what happened is the king betrayed his heart because he wanted to kill the prisoners of war. He's like, Lord, can I kill him? Can I kill him? And it was just like, well, look at me. Here's the army. I've not worked for that. It was all Elisha's doing. His neck was on the line. But he's like, can I kill him? Can I kill him? And he's like, no. Would you kill someone that you captured in war? No, they're prisoners of war. You give them something to eat and drink, treat them right, and send them back home. And that's what they did. So we see just the characteristics of the king of Israel, who's a little bit shady or a little bit, let's say, not quite filled with the things of God. And we see the mighty man of God, Elijah, in his foresight, in his wisdom, in his display of power and miracles. And we see the people of God, and when we see there was peace for a while. But after, and now I'm going into the text that I want to read today, or more focus more on that one, is in 2 Kings 6, verse 24. Then after the bands of Aram had stopped raiding Israel's territory, some time later, Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, mobilized his entire army and marched up and laid siege to Samaria. So the whole city was in captivity. No treasures can come in. No food can come in. No people can come in. No merchant can get in. Nobody can get out because all around, the whole army of the enemy of the Aramites had laid siege to that city. They couldn't go in, but they stopped everything from going in. And so the whole city was in a famine. The whole city was starving, and it was a great time of darkness and hopelessness. And the things that happened during that time are breathtaking, close to what we see, maybe what ISIS is doing to Christians or other, people in the East. We see mothers slaughter their children and eat them. We see which is a sign for killing the next generation and not loving, not equipping the next generation and not valuing the next generation. That is really hopeless. When you are strung up on needles and you tell your kid, hey, you want to take a joint with me, let's smoke. When you do that to your own children, there's something majorly wrong in the heart of a mother. There's no healthiness. There's no true motherhood anymore. It's addiction and darkness. And I went yesterday to a women's conference, and there was a ministry there called Rock, Paper, Scissors. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but that's an anti-sex trafficking ministry that's reaching the Seattle, Tacoma, Portland area. And they had some ladies there speak that were bound in that lifestyle, that were either pimped out for years or then became pimps themselves, because women do that too. It's all about really making money and being addicted to stuff and having such a need to be, and that's the only way they have learned to be, by their own hurts. And they were just talking, and one woman in particular, she was talking about being so emotionally scarred and so hurting because of everything that has been done to her, and the guilt and the shame and the blame and the abortions and the things that she had gone through. And if it wasn't for God, God came in and saved her and loved her and took care of her wounds and forgave her and gave her a new start. And all these ladies that spoke, they're now helping those that are still in bondage, helping those that are still in darkness, helping those that see no hope and have no future. Because there is a hope and a future for God, no matter where you come from, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done. And it's something that's stirring my heart lately, and it has really nothing to do with my message, but I just feel like I need to share that. And it's that part of accepting people where they're at and not condemning them, yet speaking truth and yet living in grace. So as a mom, and if you find yourself a mom, you want to teach your children, do not steal, right? You want to teach them, do not lie. Do not fall in the traps of just doing whatever other people want you to do. We're like, think for yourself. If they jump down the cliff, will you jump too? I mean, how many of those kind of things we've said to our kids? Well, I tell my kids, don't get any tattoos because, you know, when you're 14 and you put your boyfriend on your arm, you're more likely not going to marry him. So wait, when you're out of my house, do whatever, right? But by then, you might not want to do certain things because we do things, I mean, we paint our rooms. My daughter has polka dots and clouds in her room. She so wants to paint her room. But when she did it, she loved it. But 2 years later, 4 years later, you don't love that anymore. And when it's then there, it's hard to take off. I mean, you have your girlfriend's name on your chest, and then you marry the woman of your love, and then she has to lay on your chest with the other name. Just think of it. Just think of it. The wisdom of it. So, and I don't want to condemn that, people. I just want to make a point. What the tension we live in, the tension we live in that we teach our children, be careful of this. You know, don't give yourself away till somebody gives that ring to you. Somebody fought for you hard. And we instill those values, those godly values, to protect our children. And then your children come and they have friends and they, you know, have all that and they sleep with everybody that's walking around and they brag on it. And then they go through hardships and STDs and maybe pregnancy, which is not the end, but it can be make life more difficult when you're very young. And so, and they don't want to tell me because mom, she's judgmental. She's judgmental. You can't tell mom, right? And it's like because I instill my heart's desire to them so they don't get hurt, so they're protected, so they wait, so they know their value. But then on the side flip, it's like we preach what God has and his best and to wait for certain things and to grow and to say no to your own flesh and to learn to navigate life and to learn things and trust in God and have a little bit something under your belt before you live life with someone else, right? So you want to teach those things, but on the other side, we love people who come and have made all these things, have made all those mistakes, have fallen in all those pitfalls that the enemy or people didn't want them. And so we don't want to judge people because we want to love people to Christ so they can be free as well. So, but we as Christians, we live in that tension of this is truth, but there's grace. And just because we preach, moms, just because we tell them this is what God has for you, doesn't mean we judge those that have fallen or have experienced and have been broken down. We want them to be restored. We want them to come. We want them to run towards God, however they look like and wherever they have been. So yes, we say, don't do it. And then we say, come, it doesn't matter. You can still come. You're welcome. God has so much more because God is the only one that can heal the broken heart and he can put things together. And he's the one that says, you do have a hope. You do have a hope. No matter what lifestyle you've in, no matter what you have done before in your life, no matter what has been done unto you, I give you an answer. Jesus Christ, I forgive you. Please forgive others so you can be released and walk in my best. So I just want to bring that out because sometimes as a church, we do come across judgmental, though our hearts aren't. Because we have the job of training and protecting the young. And yet we have the job of nurturing and healing the broken. And there can be a tension sometimes. And you got to allow yourself to live in that tension. And God expects you to live in that tension. And he has been living with us. And I've not been perfect. And I assume you haven't. And so God has been so good to me. And God will be so good to you and has been so good to you. Okay? So, I know I went completely off, but that's all right. Some of us here needed it. So, the city was under siege. And the siege of hopelessness was my point. There was a constant enemy presence in that city. There was constant pain. There were problems everywhere. Fear, pressure, famine. You got no food in the house. You have a bunch of kids mouthing off. You got husband and wife going at each other. How are we going to feed those kids? How are we going to close those kids? What about, there's no more talk about education and learning the violin. There's like bare minimums. Can we burn the violin so we can have some heat? I mean, that's that kind of, you know, you look at war times, you look at what the Nazis did to the Jewish people. You look at those times where life is so raw. That's the time we're talking about here. Emotional crisis, fear, depression, bitterness, anger, distrust, confusion, twisted minds, economic, financial crisis, inflation, depression, huge needs, huge injustice going on. And the social decline and brutality, the social aggression, the war on family values. I feel we find ourselves in some of those aspects where clearly defined lines aren't anymore. Do what you feel like. It's all good. And people go to hell. And people get sick. And people are lonely. And people are depressed. There's more people on antidepressants than ever before. And more people on ADHD medicine. And it's just like everybody is just drugged up to somehow function. And it's not what God... If you need to have that right now, I'm not speaking against it. I'm just saying that keep your hope alive. That God is your deliverer. And God has a good plan. And that God has a plan of freedom. I have seen people, and we walked people through those seasons. And that point when they said, I don't need it anymore. I'm getting off the medicine. And they are sitting amongst us. Because they, even though their emotions are not always in line, whose emotions are always in line? We're living life, right? They have trusted and learned that the word of God, that he's faithful and that he's good. And therefore, they trusted him more than their circumstances and their feelings. And they have overcome believing that deliverer Jesus Christ is as powerful as he was then on the cross. And that what he done on the cross, he's done for me today. And that is good news. That is such good news. So Jesus truly came to bring us life and abundantly. And so we see the people here, you know, doing horrible things to the next generation. And that really breaks my heart. And the king just tears his robes. He has no answer. But what his answer is one that is my third point. The trap of hopelessness. Because when you're in hopelessness, there's different traps you can fall into. And that trap of hopelessness, when you find yourself in a season of darkness and hopelessness, if that's you concerning your marriage or your finances or your church situation, what, you know, your physical situation, the pain you feel you're in. I mean, the things you find yourself that are not in God's best, right? We all conquer some of those things. We're all in a fight because we don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against the enemy, and he attacks us. So how close are you walking with God to overcome? Because he truly, this is a New Year's Day message. This is good news. You are an overcomer, and you can. Those things are bound to, they're not eternal. Your circumstances are not eternal. They are bound to change. So let's change them. Let's see what they did here. Okay, and let's see a trap that you don't want to fall in, and that is blaming others. So let's go do verse, let's say 30. When the king heard the woman's words, he tore his robes as he went along the wall. The people looked, and there underneath, he had sackcloth on his body. He was completely hopeless and grieving. He said, "May God deal with me, be it ever so severely, if the head of Elisha, son of Shaphat, remains on his shoulders today." Whoa. Okay, we have an enemy that took siege of his city, and his people killing themselves, and it's dark and evil. And what does the king of Israel declare? It is all the man of God's fault. And he blames the man of God who has saved his behind so many times, who has done only good to him. Come on, we see that as pastors sometimes. We give to people. Our team gives to people. We serve people. We pray for people in need. We give things to people. We move people. We do all these kind of things. And then things happen. And they blame you for something that I have learned to accept they find in their own heart. And that is their own unhappiness. And because they are not willing to change themselves and their circumstances, they got to make a change, right? And that is, they're going to take you down. Or at least they try. So, and this is a trap, people. This is a trap because you can't have what you speak against. This is a trap from the enemy. So watch where your heart goes. Watch if you're blaming the church or the church is not the same like they were 5 years ago. No, thank God we're not the same we were 5 years ago. Thank God we are going forward with the vision God has for us and for Gresham. Thank God we have new wineskins. Come on. Let's have fresh. Let's have God encounter us. So, amen. Thank you, honey. I did lose my place. God knows what he's doing. Trust him. Trust him. The king couldn't. The king fell into something. And it doesn't have to be your pastor, the man of God. It could be that husband God gave you. It could be that wife God gave you. It could be those kids that were given to you. It could be the boss you're dealing with. And don't, I'm not putting you down. I know it can be hard. I know it can be difficult. I know it can be challenging. It sucketh sometimes. Life does. But Jesus comes. And he teaches us that our enemy is not all these people that I mentioned or others. It is the devil that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And once we see certain truth and have a revelation in it and walk in that faith, we can deal with things completely different. And life can be brought because the devil can be stopped and true unity and joy and love can be lived. And I encourage you to do so. So let's go. So now Elisha was sitting in his house. So the man of God sitting in his house with the elders were sitting with him. The king sent a messenger ahead, but before he arrived, Elisha, the prophet, knows things. Say, a prophet knows. A prophet knows. You know, you have the Holy Spirit too. And I wonder how many times the Holy Spirit warns you of something or tells you this is coming because that's his job. And we have that privilege today. So the king sent a messenger ahead, but before he arrived, Elisha said to his elders, "Don't you see? Oh, here we go. He doesn't call him the king. What does he call him? The murderer. The murderer. There's something about having the wrong spirit, even in war, even armies that have to kill, that to save lives or to keep America safe. That's not a murderer that's doing warfare. But here he calls him not a king, which a king has always done warfare in those days. He calls him a murderer. So something in his attitude, in his spirit isn't right. Don't you see how this murderer is sending someone to cut off my head? Look, when the messenger comes, shut the door and hold it shut against him. Is not the sound of his master's footsteps behind him? While he was still talking to them, the messenger came down to him, and the king said, "This disaster is from the Lord." Oh, now it's not just Elisha's fault, it's God's fault. Oh, how convenient. If you can't blame someone here anymore, it's God allowed it. It's God's fault. God had nothing to do with it. The sad thing is, though, when the enemy, the devil, can make us think that God is like that, and we have reason to blame him, then we would not run towards God. Then we would not serve God wholeheartedly. Then we would not receive from God or want to receive from God. And therefore, the kingdom of God is stopped. Don't you see that this is the ultimate goal of the devil? That instead of being blamed for what he does, he wants God to be blamed. It's like, you know, what happens sometimes in unrighteous families or families that favor one child over the other. It's like, let's say, you know, you guys, can you stand up for a second? Come on, Mick. Chase. So it's like, I make Chase the bad guy, right? Chase throws something, get your scarf and throw it down for a second. So obviously we've all seen Chase do that, and I would go, "You did!" And I would lash out at Michaela, even though Michaela had nothing to do with it. You would all think, "What's wrong with you?" You know, Chase threw the thing down. You know, thank you guys, you did wonderful. So it's like punishing one child for what the other one did. Everybody would say that's wrong. Come on, say it. That's wrong. Well, if we blame God for what he isn't in charge of or what he hasn't sent, so everybody say, that's wrong. Okay, let's not do that. Because we cut ourselves off of every good thing. Because guess what? Devil bad, God good. And that all the time. There is no confusion. Devil bad, God good. So I want to stay on this side tightly on this side. Okay. God is good. So, now what I like, really, really like, is the king says, this disaster is from the Lord. Ah, no, don't blame me. It's the man of God and God himself. The prophet, though, says something. He says, no, this is the word of the Lord. Okay, there's a lot of voices against you. And some are right and some are wrong. So be honest as you go through life. But when it's wrong, you have the right and the privilege to say, no, this is what the Lord says. No, this is how my God operates. What you're saying is your expectation and your experience, but it's not based on truth. It's not based on truth. The truth here is that they had a hard time and dark times were there. And the king that led him was kind of a man that was into himself but not into leading. And he needed somebody to blame or needed somebody to kill. It was like, you know, the letter of the law kills, but the life, the spirit of life changes. Grace changes, you know. So I just want to let you say, we cannot allow ourselves to distrust in God's goodness and kindness and love. We cannot allow that to happen to our heart. So guard your hearts. When you face hardships, and I'm reminded of an example where a preacher couple, that preachers all over the world, had a daughter that had a divorce and moved back home with her two small children. And she had a heart attack or something and took her life really quick. And they slipped into such hopelessness. Now they had to raise those two small children, and they lost the love of their life, their daughter. And they were so hopeless, and God met them with hope and his presence and his healing. And though they had to put the pieces back together, they walked into hope. It was almost like God's presence was so strong. It carried them through their many tears and really manifested presence, because God balances. When you go through a hardship, his grace balances that hardship. He brings you back up. That's what God does, right? So, and they said that so many people said to them, oh, we're praying for you. God just needed another angel in heaven. And they said all kinds of things that hurt them more than helped them. But it was from a good heart. So you don't want to go in their face. Like, how can you say that? No, that it meant to comfort, but it came from their revelation they had. And it wasn't truth. They felt robbed, and they were robbed. But God brings hope in those dark places. So, but they wrote something, and I want to read that to you. They said, we have to make an important decision in these times of hardships. And that's the sentence. I will not ascribe to my father the actions of the enemy in order to bring myself comfort or understanding. I will not blame my father God for the loss I endured just so I find some kind of comfort. I will not ascribe to my father the actions of the enemy in order to bring myself comfort or understanding. Some things are hard to understand. Yet God, you have to see that. God is not the author of confusion or chaos or pain. But if we find ourselves through life in a crisis, a hardship, a problem, or a loss, then you could either say God caused it, or you can say the Lord can and wants to cause something good through this. God uses the hardship to use it for your good. He did not cause it or send it. And there's a big difference. Because if he caused it and he took the love of my life, would I run to him? No. I can't trust him. But he doesn't cause things that are of the enemy. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus came to give us life and that abundantly. So we know what the author is. So in this world, sometimes things happen that God didn't plan. Do you agree with that? There's too much evil. There's too much sickness. There's too much of that that we know we can't ascribe these things to the character of God. So we know these things happen. Accidents, all these things. You know, that's why we get to pray. That's why we pray for a hedge of protection around us and our children and our church and you. And that's why we pray that you have and develop godly relationships, that you know who you are in Christ so you don't fall for the crap the world offers you. Because you are more in God's sight than what you sometimes hang with. And you can press through and you can find your deliverer and you can have the victory. We are not called to live in depression and misery and darkness and blame and shame. We are called to live victorious. And if you make this year's resolution, is that you're going to walk as God's guy and God's girl, knowing who you are in Christ, and taking those scriptures and those promises that he has given you and proclaiming them and prophesying them and saying them and walking in them. And if it snows, you come anyway into his presence. You worship him. I'm sure half our church is at home today, and I hope they read the word, and I hope they seek God, and I hope that God breathes hope and a future into them, just like I get to preach to you this morning. So it is important to be where God calls us to be. Hallelujah. He calls us into freedom and deliverance every time, every time. So, okay, the king said the disaster is from the Lord, and the prophet said no. Let's look at it. The disaster is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer, the king says. And then chapter 7, it says, Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. Now you come to that place in your problems and in your situations that you hear the word of the Lord. And it says, this is what the Lord says about this time tomorrow. Wow. About this time tomorrow, your problems are gone. The bills are paid. There will be food on the table. There will be joy and laughter in your house. That relationship is mended. That forgiveness it's done. You're free. The addiction is gone. The desires to be an adulterer and go from man to man to man, or woman and woman to woman, is gone because you don't have to run and flee and explore anymore because you found home. You know who you are. You can be who you are. And you can wait for what God has for you because His is always the best. His is always the best. His plan is always the best. And so I want to encourage you. You know, He said, this is the what the Lord said. About this time tomorrow, a seah of flour will sell for a shekel and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. And the officer on whose arm the king was leaning said to the man of God, come on, guy, look, look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of the heavens, could this happen? What he's saying is, if God would come down, it can't happen. Come on, if God would open the floodgates, can that happen? You got to be kidding me, right? It's impossible. So here the officer says to the man of God, nah, can't happen. And see what the man of God says to him. You will see it with your own eyes, answered Elijah, but you will not eat any of it. You will see it. You will see the deliverance, but you won't live it. You won't exercise it. You don't partake of it. Because doubt does not receive. There's a whole nother lesson of doubt in here. Faith can see into the unseen. Faith sees the answer, even though the circumstances don't say that it's done. But faith can, according to promise, sees and be hopeful. But doubt says there's no way. And with that there's no way, you won't get what you want. And so that's a lesson for us. Don't, when God gives you a word and one day you're in prayer and you got your answer and you speak in it and then the circumstances mound up even more and you're like, oh no, it's not happening. I must have heard wrong. Circumstances telling me this is impossible. And the seeds of faith that you've sown, you rip them back out yourself. And then it gets worse and worse and you call on Him and God gives you an answer, says, trust me. This is your promise. Tomorrow, at this day, the problem is over. You know, will you, for once, take Him and His word? Not for once. But will you take that chance that God offers you in His word, through His presence, through His promises, and say, yes, it's mine. So my leg still hurts. I claim that God is my healer because on the cross He said, the stripes were laid on me so you could walk free. Can you proclaim, though you still feel it, that God is your healer? That God is your healer. When the checkbook is still empty and you're looking for a job, can you proclaim that He's your provider and walk and find a job? You can't just sit at home and say, God is my provider. A revelation has to be walked and experienced by faith. There has to be actions to your faith. There has to be action to that revelation, or it's no revelation. It's just words. I hear words from people all the time. I'm going to be there. I'm going to do this. I have this vision. I want to do that. Can I sing on stage? And then people don't come for 3-4 weeks. I'm like, you want to be part of a team. You have to be part of a team. You want to be part of a sports team and be a goalie, you have to be the goalie. It's not just saying, I would like to be the goalie. Goalie is so awesome. No, there's a lot of work that goes into it. There's a lot that you have to, you know, add to that. And so I want to encourage you, faith is alive. It's real. It is something you can experience. It will manifest. But you have to see it, and you have to speak it, and you have to proclaim it. You get to, right? So the king says, the disaster is from the Lord, and the prophet says, no, this is the word. Your deliverance is here tomorrow. And it came. That tomorrow was there, and deliverance came. And guess what? God used four men that were disqualified. And because of time, I have to just say it now. There were four lepers. The Bible says leprosy, but in the undertitle, if you study, it was a form of leprosy. So, but those guys were confined to the gate. They weren't in the city. They were outside. They were shunned. They were out there. They were more likely more poor than the people in the city. And they had experienced being shunned and looked down upon. They've lost everything. They're unwanted. And they have no future and no hope. And guess what? Those four people had 3 doors to go through. And they talked to each other and they said, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? If we go in the city, we're going to die. If we stay out at the gate, the city gate where we live in, we're going to die. And if we go to the Arameans, they either let us live, then we live, or they kill us and then we die. So option number one, dying. Option number two, dying. Option number three, 50-50. Which one would you choose? Option number three. Okay, good. So it is really important that we choose well. And even though they did have not much, God had chosen them as vessels for his delivery. Because guess what? He's the head and we are the body. He needs us to bring deliverance to Gresham. He needs us to bring hope to a nation. He needs us to bring life to our families. He needs us to speak the word of deliverance. And so those four men, God used them. They were better unseen, better unheard, undervalued, forgotten, outcast of society, poor, feared, hungry, weak, hurting, hopeless. They were disqualified in the eyes of men, but obviously qualified in the eyes of God. Now, I don't have an excuse anymore. I'm God's girl after all. I have no excuse to serve him anymore. Do you? When the devil says you are nobody, look what you've done, look how things are, look at your relationship, look how you messed up, look how you look, how look what people say about you. It's like, bah. Really? It doesn't matter. It shouldn't matter. Because Jesus Christ sees you as blameless. Because he took your blame so you could walk free. He took your stuff so you could say, I'm his. And I'm doing that every day. It doesn't matter what people say about me. If it's good or is it bad, I can be motivated by it. I want to be motivated by the rock of my life, which is Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior, who I get to walk with. So in Colossians 1:12, it says, giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. You are qualified. City Park Church people, you are qualified to serve the living God. He has qualified you. He has qualified you. He has chosen you. He has called you. He wants you. He loves you. He forgave you. He frees you. He wants you to be free. The more revelation we have of who God is and the delivering nature of his, we can walk freer and freer and freer and freer. And that is what he has for us. So they decide to go to the camp. They decide to abandon themselves, no matter what it is. So what if we live another day here? We might not make it much longer. Let's go over to the enemy camp. They come. And God had caused such a sound as if a huge army was coming against the king of Aram's army. And they thought that the king of Israel had hired 2 other kings and their armies to go against them. They said he hired the king of Egypt and the Hittites. And they're all coming as they heard the sound of chariots and war coming towards them. And guess what? They dropped it all and they ran. As fast as they could. Everything was thrown around, their equipment, their clothes, they left their tents, their food, their oxen, their gold, their silver, all their precious things. So when the 4 lepers came, knock, 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 anybody in there? No answer. Anybody, can we come in? We would like to live, but if we can't, there's nobody here. Wow. And guess what? Because they're willing to be used by God in the sense of deliverance, God said, sit down, eat, drink, and rest. And they did. They were the first ones that could eat the fruit of being delivered. they were chosen. They were chosen to sit down and eat and drink what they couldn't do for months and years, maybe. I don't know how long that siege lasted. They were eating the first fruit. Sit down. The table is set. Sit down and eat and drink. There's plenty. Eat and drink. And then they went through their treasures and found gold and silver and precious clothes, and they hid them. And they were like, ooh, this is fun. Let's go to another tent. And they go to another tent. Same thing. They're all gone. The donkeys are there. The horses are there. Everything is, they just left. And they left all their stuff and their treasures there. So they went and took some more. And then they said something really, really important. In 2 Kings 7, 9 and 10, they said to each other, what we're doing is not right. This is a day of good news and we're keeping it to ourselves. This is a day of good news and we're keeping it ourselves. What the prophet had said, today, around this time, next day, that your deliverance be here, because God can be trusted. God can be trusted. He performs his word. If you believe his word and you speak his word and you live by his word and you live in his presence, you will experience your deliverance and your provision and your promises to be manifested in your life. So they couldn't keep it to themselves. It's like the message the angel said to the shepherds when Christ was born. This today unto you is born, the Savior, joy for all the people. And they were like, we can't keep that in. We can't keep our faith. We can keep what we've experienced. We can keep all those treasures just for us. That won't be right. This is bigger than us. God has used us. Let's let the people know. And they run and they tell the gate, hey, by the way, the armies, the enemies are gone. It's all there. We're free. The siege has ended. Tell the king. And when they told the king, the king's attitude was still not quite right. So the king said, I know, I know. I disregard the prophet Elijah's prophecy, even though he has helped him every time. And I disregard what these lepers are telling me, because who knows? And I'm going to stay in my prison, and I'm going to stay in this, because the enemy's out there, and he's just went behind their tents, and he's hiding back there. And once we come out of our cities, it's their plan to capture the city. And so he was willing to keep his people in bondage, in blindness, in hopelessness, in eating each other, in all that hurt and pain, because he wasn't quite right, because he couldn't see. But then there was an officer, and he said, hey, you know, there's not much to lose. Let's look. Let's check it out. And thank God he had some man that spoke into his life. When you're not quite sure, find counsel. Find good counsel, because God made us to receive counsel from each other. And so they went after, and it was right. I mean, up to the Jordan, all the equipment, all the clothes of the Arameans were strewn all over the place. The tents, the horses, the food, everything was there. And just like the prophet had said, just like the word of God had proclaimed over you, that you are free, that you are his, it has come true. Because he will watch over his word to perform it, and he has. And they experienced a day of delivery day like none other. And they could eat and drink and have hope again for their future. There was a hope restored to them because of what God has done and how God used the four that were disqualified in the eyes of man, yet never disqualified in the eyes of God. So this morning, I want to encourage you to stand up with me. And if you're the one that is experiencing a part of hopelessness in an area of your life, or darkness, or shame, or blame, or unforgiveness, if there's something that holds you back from walking in what God has for you, walking in deliverance and freedom and joy and love. If you have something in your heart that's holding you back from praising God freely and trusting God for this new year, trusting God with your relationships, trusting God with what is to come, good or bad, if you're bogged down by any of these things, I want you to raise your hand because I want to pray for you. You are fighting something that you're unsure and unclear, and there's some level of darkness or unsureness there or chaos or whatever pain, I pray that you raise your hand and let me pray for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, I thank you for this house that you called in existence, City Park Church, to be a light on the hill, to speak the truth with grace. Father God, I thank you that your presence, your delivering power is right now here in this place. And I trust you, Jesus, that as I pray, that the enemy has to flee, the lies have to be bound away from the hearts of these people. And I thank you, Father God, that your love and your freedom and your joy and your peace and your answers and your deliverance is here. It is spoken because Jesus Christ has come and he destroyed the powers of darkness and he set us free. And he said, walk in my kingdom and walk with me and see through my eyes and speak what I speak, because you will bring the kingdom into your world and you will see the manifest glory of God in your life and you will see the answers and the victories in your life if you trust me. So Father God, we take from you right now, from heaven, what is given to us freely. And that's your power and that's your forgiveness. As you say, your blame is gone. You are free from the lies of the enemy that you're nobody and you will not amount to anything. You are God's girl and you're God's guy. You belong to the kingdom of God where the Father is always good to you, where the Father is always for you. And Father God, we place ourselves under that protection, that covering this morning. And we thank you for your goodness and your kindness and for this new journey of hope for 2016. We will pray and we'll seek your heart because your plans are good, not to harm us, but to prosper and to bless us. And we receive that right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Come on, give her a big hand this morning.
That was really good, honey.
That was really good. She actually preached that message in Germany when she was there. In German, obviously, but that was good. Really, really good. That was like the best I ever heard you preach. Seriously. You guys ready to head? We're going to be heading over to Asian Thai restaurant if you guys want to come eat with us. It opens at noontime, so we got a few minutes to hang out and close up the building. So if you guys want to get a quick bite over there, it's good Thai food. We'd love to have you join us. You guys have a wonderful week. Wednesday night youth and all the good things that are happening in the church. Have a blessed week.